This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
It's showtime, folks!
Is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
I still think I got a little situation. So listen to me, sister, listen, maybe you can help. I think I give a lot of problems my consideration, but not for me, and I was sending it for someone else.
Welcome in to Overtime, Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. I'm your host, Tucker Holt, for the day. Will Stevens will not be here. But I'm joined, to my left, by Trey Patterson. And up on the ones and twos, Alex Comas.
My final day.
His final day. It's been a long time. It's been a long time coming.
Yeah.
Are you upset? How you feel?
You
gotta be a little sad.
I'm sad for sure, because I like, hanging out with you guys, specifically, Folky, Will, and Tucker, I have the most experience hanging out with, but Trey has been an awesome addition to our staff, and I've had the opportunity to work a couple shows with him, so it'll stink a little bit not being able to come in and just kind of talk shop, talk sports for a little bit, hang out for a couple hours
in
a laid-back setting compared, I think, more so to Three and Out, because, I kind of need to be on my game there. But
right, yeah, it's a much more serious vibe in the mornings for you.
Well, yeah, and also Nate was my site supervisor, so I had to make sure I was doing the job.
You're
right.
You're actually, doing something worth your hours. Yeah, but yeah, this place, it is a good, I could see leaving and just feeling like you're missing out on like a little bit of a, it's like group therapy every day. You just kind of get in here, talk things out, mainly sports, but
yeah,
it's good. You can vent in here. You come in here, you talk about your Giants.
Yeah.
It helps a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah. I won't miss the shots that are constantly taken at me.
Everybody's throwing at everybody. So
It seemed like it was a tag team on the intern. Just, my perspective.
Well, at times, yeah. Everybody has their day. Sometimes, and you're a Giants fan, so the Giants come around a lot on sometimes. But it was never directed as, at you.
It wasn't only the Giants, though. I mean,
sure.
The Yankees, boy, did you guys like that slow start at the beginning of the season.
It was fun. Yeah,
real fun.
Everybody knew you guys were going to get it together. If we thought you were actually going to have a bad season, we probably would have been nicer about it.
Mm-hmm.
But you were going to get it together, but it was fun to get under your skin.
Hmm.
I mean, Now do you cherish the wins more now? Knowing that, what you went through, that torture when you guys were going through a little spat there at the beginning?
No, because we have higher expectations than the Reds just to win a few regular season
baseball
games.
And if you recall, whenever me and Folky were just beating our chests, on top of the world.
Yeah, I haven't heard too much from
you
recently.
And you said, it's only been like, it was like 8 games or something like that. We both agreed. No, yeah, this is going down. But we enjoyed it while we were on the top.
Mm.
Cherish what you got.
Yep. Trey, how's your day been?
How you doing?
It'll be determined by how this Braves game ends.
What is the score right now?
We're up 3-1, but our pitcher just walked somebody, making a
Ooh.
Change.
Ooh.
Seventh inning.
I have a lot of experience with that. You have a 2-3 run lead like late in a ball game, and if the bullpen does what the bullpen does, we're probably losing this game. That happened all last year with the Reds. It's just it sets you up for heartbreak. The bats get going early and then disappear. And then you let them climb back and beat you.
Yeah, and the Braves bullpen is terrible.
Yeah, that's the one thing I know about the Braves. Like, I follow enough people from around here who are, you're either a Reds fan or a Braves fan usually.
Cubs.
Yeah,
you get
Cubs,
a lot of Cubs fans.
WGN, yeah, stuff like that. But I know the bullpen's bad because it's all I see on Twitter whenever the Braves are playing. Bullpen. Bullpen, bullpen. Need better bullpen. And I can agree with you on that.
Well, we're about to find out with Luke Jackson coming in.
Bottom of the seventh.
Bullpen. More so this year, I think I've heard more about how the lineup has been terrible apart from Acuna and Freddie Freeman.
Freddie, the past week, he's had one hit, I think, this past week. He went 1-for-24 with like 13 strikeouts. It's very un-Freddie Freeman-like.
Okay. Ever since he struck out against Rizzo, it's gotten in his head.
No, what happened was
that could break a man.
He got hit by a pitch on his elbow.
Ooh,
and
threw off his swing.
Yeah, they're wondering if maybe there's some sort of lingering injury there.
I've seen a lot of people like not upset, but like that wish that Acuna didn't lead off. Like he does great leading off. He gets a ton of hits, but wouldn't it be better to have him sitting like fourth, to where like maybe you can get some guys on base.
Third or fourth, yeah.
Yeah, he can get some RBIs. Like I've seen a lot of people calling for that on Twitter too.
But they have no one else to put up there.
That was the main
Everyone's
thing that
struggling.
I kind of thought. Yeah, if nobody's getting on base, what's it matter where he's at?
The only person I could think of is maybe Ozzy Albies.
Yeah.
But
you would just have
He started off slow, didn't he?
Yeah, pretty much everybody started off slow except for Acuna. And much like the Yankees, they're all starting to sort of come around now.
Yeah. Yeah, tough loss today.
Yeah, and he just gave up a hit.
Heard about that on Altuve's birthday.
Yeah, he had a home run too.
Yeah, did you guys hear what the crowd chanted at Altuve?
Yes.
Yeah. Been hearing
it
all week.
Twitter.
Yeah. Bleep your birthday. That's pretty good. The fans have been showing up to Yankee Stadium for this series.
That's not the only thing they've been saying to him this week.
Oh no,
I mean,
not at all.
Bleep you, Altuve. That's all they've had to say.
Yeah, I mean, is it true that the Astros released a statement about the fans heckling the team?
I didn't see anything, but I know Dusty Baker in his post-game press conference after the first game was like, oh, the Yankee fans were very harsh on Altuve.
I saw that, and I mean, that's not that bad to say because it's just factual, but I thought I saw it may have been fake or something like that, but for some reason I thought they had put out something talking about, like, something needed to be done about the fans.
Oh, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
The Astros organization was complaining about the Yankees a couple years ago in the playoffs. I don't know if it was our team or the fans. There was some problem they had that they had to complain to MLB Baseball to make some sort of punishment. Yeah, I think it was the fans. They said the fans were being too harsh. But I think there was some beer thrown on the field, and that's unacceptable. Like, that shouldn't happen, but...
This was in this series or in
the past? This was 2 years ago in the playoffs.
Okay. Supposedly, according to... I'm trying to find out the exact name, but he claims that the Astros have complained to the MLB about fans taunting them, wanting action to be taken against it. That is by Stephen Apstein.
Man, toughen
Stephanie
up.
Apstein.
Exactly. You deserve it.
Yeah.
You didn't get punished for cheating. Just accept this as your punishment.
Yeah, and then you have
to come out and say that.
And complain.
Yeah.
And one of your leaders in the clubhouse, Carlos Correa, coming out and, like, after the whole scandal broke out and after the sanctions came down, what little sanctions?
Almost none.
Yeah, Correa, is coming out.
Did they get fined? Is that really, like, small fines? Is that what? Because no one got a game, right?
None of the players, I don't think,
the
got
players
in
weren't punished.
It was, like,
zero
the management.
Players.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a while. I'd kind of forgotten. But.
Yeah, but Correa was like, oh, that World Series still stands. It's not tainted. If you weren't here, you don't understand what was going on.
Okay.
And he told everyone to basically shut up. Then you deserve it.
You deserve it.
Yeah.
Like, you 100% stole a World Series.
Yeah, in Altuve's case, I mean, Yankee fans are upset because he stole an MVP as well from Aaron Judge. They're taking up for one of their players.
I forget about that because he batted. His numbers were absolutely incredible that year, but he was cheating the entire time.
Yep.
And Aaron Judge was just as incredible. Their stats were extremely similar, were they not?
Aaron Judge had 50 home runs and like 111 RBIs. Altuve only had like 80 RBIs and like 23 home runs, but he had a higher average. He hit like 340.
I was about to say, Aaron Judge got robbed.
Yeah. I mean, Giancarlo Stanton, I don't know if he said it recently or I guess when the whole cheating thing came out, but he said, if I knew what pitch was coming down the pipe, I would have hit 80 home runs that season. Because that year, Giancarlo Stanton had 50. And he was going for 60. He said he would have hit 80 if he knew what pitch was coming, like Altuve and the rest of the Astros knew.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's worse than taking steroids in terms of cheating.
Oh, yeah.
Knowing what pitch is coming is way more of an advantage than juicing.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you're juicing, talk about Barry Bonds, you know, the asterisks and all that. He still had to put the barrel of the bat to the ball, which is one of the hardest
things
to do
guess,
in sports.
And had to guess what pitch it was.
Yeah, and play the mind game.
Like, yeah.
They took the mind game completely out of it, and then if you're a decent enough baseball player, if you're in the major league, if you're in major league baseball, you're a good enough baseball player to put bat on barrel, or barrel on ball,
and you're hitting it in play.
Yeah,
it's pretty bad. I mean, can you even think of another scandal in a sport that's cheating that bad?
The 19 White Sox. 1919.
Yeah, I mean, that's really, like, the only thing. Like, even in, like, in modern-day sports, I can't think of anything. Like, Deflategate, like, you could really...
Not too much.
No.
Maybe
like,
Spygate?
Sure. Maybe Spygate, just because you know, if you knew what their, like, signs were and stuff like that, you would know what
was
coming.
Did they pick up signs or, like, specific plays with Spygate?
I don't know exactly what was going on. I know they were just filming... It was practice? Filming someone else's practice?
Yeah.
So... I mean, yeah, you could probably get signs and know what, you know, sideline signs or anything like that. But in the NFL, they usually use, like, radio. So, I mean, you would just know what plays they run out of certain sets before you got to the game. And even then, you have game film. Like, I mean, you're not allowed to film other teams' practices, but that's still not as bad as wearing a buzzer or beating a trash can, using cameras to steal signs.
Well, we've all seen that video, I'm sure, of where Altuve hit the home run and they were going to try to rip off his jersey and he wouldn't let them.
Yeah, that's your first instinct after hitting a walk-off home run go to the World Series is don't take off my jersey because I got a bad tattoo and I don't want my wife to see
it.
Yeah, that was 3 years ago. That's tough.
Yeah, you still think about that a lot, don't you?
I have PTSD from that moment.
Yeah, I was cheering for the Yankees pretty hard right there, and that was... something to watch.
I was at my friend's house, and I was watching we were watching the game, and when DJ hit the home run to bring us back into it and tie the game, I went ecstatic, and my adrenaline was through the roof. And then when Altuve hit the walk-off against Chapman, my friend's dad hated the Yankees. He just started laughing in my face.
Can you still hear the laughter to this day?
Yep.
See, I'm one of those people, like, if it's a serious game and my team's playing in it, I either have to be at home watching it by myself or with somebody else that I know is also just as big of a fan as me. Like, I can't watch, like, no offense to you guys, but if the Braves were in the World Series, I wouldn't be in here watching it with you because I'd be going nuts.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you. I would be I'm the same way when it comes to the Chiefs, really. Yeah. Like, I won't watch with anyone but my dad is, like, the only person I'll watch a Chiefs game with or by myself.
You see, I watch... regular season games with my dad, but I can't watch playoff games because he just takes it too serious.
He takes it even more serious than
every pitch. Yeah. Every pitch. If the umpire's not giving us a strike, like, he's screaming. I'm like, Dad, you got to relax. Like, we got a whole
pinch of the game.
We got a whole eight innings to get through after this. Like, you got to relax.
Yeah. That's my dad's not quite that intense, but me and him match intensity. So, like, watching a Chiefs game is pretty. Watching the last Super Bowl was pretty chill, though. We knew it was pretty much over in the first quarter, so we just kind of didn't even get mad. I think that's the way I would prefer it. Like, your walk-off home run in the ALCS is much worse than me just watching whatever that garbage
was. How about blowing a 3-1 lead to the Dodgers like the Braves did last year?
No, that's tough. I like the Warriors, so I saw that in 2016 against the Cavs. That sucks. Sucks a lot. Sports brings – have you guys ever thought about, like, the – if you waited out, how much – do your sports teams or, like, viewing sports give you more joy or more sadness? Because there's a lot of sadness I deal with because of sports. Like, sure, it's fun, but, like, when you're talking just highs and lows.
I mean, for me, it's got to be sadness because I've never experienced a championship in any sport of any team I like.
Yeah, that's tough.
Man.
That is really tough.
Yeah, that one's
I mean, the Braves won in 95. I was 3 years old. Two, 3 years old then. Vols, 98. I would have been 6. Don't remember it. Titans, never have won. And the Preds came close. They almost won the Stanley Cup, but...
Yeah, I was all in on that Preds. I'm not a hockey fan at all, but, like, that team got me into hockey for, like, 2 years.
Oh, I'm a big hockey fan.
Yeah, like, that was something to watch. That was really fun. I was really bummed about that, but not as much as I'm sure you were because you're a much bigger fan. But... Yeah, I mean, Tennessee, I've never seen us do anything other than lose an SEC championship. That's one of my first memories, is us losing an SEC championship. 2016 was fun up until, you know, week seven.
I'll tell you, taking that 10-0 lead on the Chiefs in the AFC championship game 2 years ago was pretty fun for the Titans, and then it went downhill after that.
God, my heart rate was through the roof. That game was nuts.
I thought we were going to the Super Bowl.
Were you afraid in that game? Because, like,
no.
I can understand if my team, like, was facing off against what I assume most people you know are Titans fans.
Yeah.
Were you, like, nervous then? Like, oh, boy, if they win this game, like, I'm going to hear so much crap.
The Titans had already beat us in the playoffs in 2018.
Yeah, that was the year that Mariota threw that touchdown pass.
He threw a touchdown to himself. The quarterback throws a touchdown to himself against your team, in which the entire state you live in is a fan of that team. That wasn't fun. That sucked.
Who was that? Who was the defensive coordinator for you then?
Bob Sutton.
Yeah.
He sucked. He was awful. Like, yeah. That defense was a wet paper bag. And as soon as we got Spagnuolo. I always screw his name
Don't
up.
Disrespect him.
Okay. Sorry. But, I mean, the defense was so much better to watch. But
The Titans also beat the Chiefs in the regular season season.
Yeah, kicked, a 60-yard field goal that was frozen?
No, that was 2 years before.
That was 2 years before that. Like,
the other one was the shootout where they blocked the kick. With
Yeah. Yeah. Up until the AFC Championship game, the Titans owned the Chiefs. We would go, like, 11-4, or, like, 11-5, and be sure one of those losses were the Titans.
No, before that game, I wanted you guys to beat Houston. I thought we had a better chance at beating Kansas City than we did Houston.
Yeah.
Boy, did you regret that.
Well, no, I still think we would have lost to Houston. At that time, Deshaun Watson owned us. He was just...
Yeah, it was the same thing.
It was one of those things. He just always had our number.
And you guys got into the playoffs because you beat them week 17, but it wasn't their starters.
Yeah, they had rested all their starters.
So it would have been... Yeah, you guys running it back. Yeah,
It could have been a different story, I think.
I can't lie, though, that Super Bowl run, it was a type of invincible I've never felt before, because, like, we came back against – our first game was the Texans, correct? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And came back 24-0, and we won that game, and I was like, okay, phew, squeaked one by. And then the Titans were – you guys were up on us, like, 10, something like that. Yeah, yeah, and it was late, too. Came back and won that game. So in the Super Bowl, I was not worried at all. Me and my – like – there's videos of me, one of my family members took. I was just like, calm, chill. I knew it was going to be fine. On the inside, I was freaking out, but I played it cool. That's the kind of trust you can get. And then I got my heart broken this year, but so still more sad than good.
I'm happy for recent success for you.
At least I got some good, though.
My early life bared great fruit, but I'm being punished for it.
Yeah, my early life was pretty much sports hell. Tennessee was awful. The Chiefs would do good to win 6 games. I didn't even follow the NBA, so no championships there.
Yeah.
So it was rough. We finally reached a decent place.
Yeah, I saw the Yankees win in 2009, and I thought, man, this is awesome. Like, is this what I'm going to experience for the rest of my life? And they haven't won since.
See, what's crazy is before I got back into baseball again, like probably in 2015, like, and you would ask me how many, like, championships the Yankees had won in prior years. I would have said, like, 2 or 3 times. Like, the Yankees still, like, out from outside of baseball, you still think that the Yankees are winning World Series pretty often.
I mean, they're making the playoffs.
Just because of that brand. And, yeah, they're always playing in October.
Yeah. Just depends how long that October stretch runs.
Yeah. But you guys ready to take a break? Head into this first break?
Yep. Probably a good idea.
We'll be right back. Welcome back. Overtime. Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. We were just talking a little bit MLB. Figured we'd continue it. Had some big news today out of the MLB world. Albert Pujols. Legend, right? Legend?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Legend. Okay.
One of the all-time greats.
Yeah, I didn't want to misspeak. I knew his reputation. If I knew his name when I was, like, little, if I knew who Albert Pujols was, he's probably a legend. I just didn't know if he had, you know, completely fell off and was like a one-hit wonder kind of guy.
He was the Mike Trout of, like, the 2000s hitting-wise.
Okay. And has he always had that goatee? Does he have a goatee?
Not always, but for the majority of his career, yes. Okay.
Because I always used to think that gave him power. That's who I thought about Pujols as.
I think he was trying to grow it into a beard a little bit when he was with the Angels.
And it just didn't really work. Just
kept the goatee.
Had to clean it up. Gotcha. But, yeah, he has been designated for assignment, which is pretty much like being released. Is kind of how it sort of.
Yeah, he's on waivers for the next couple days. If a team can decide to claim him, however, if the team decides to claim him, I'm pretty sure they have to pay his contract, which no one is going to want to do.
So
because he's a 198 hitter who is supposed to make $30 million this year.
He still has better numbers than Francisco Lindor right now.
Yeah. Not wrong there.
It's $24 million a year. He signed a 10-year, $240 million contract in December of 2011. So that contract's, I mean, almost up. Like, he's on his last year, right?
Yeah.
So I wonder if he would have to pay the full 24 since he's already technically in this season. I wonder what
I don't even know if it's 24 because I'm pretty sure it was backloaded.
Okay. So I guess that – okay. I gotcha. But, yeah.
I'll look it up.
Batting 198 on 250, on a 250 on-base percentage. Slugging 372. It's not great, but it's tough to see a guy like Albert Pujols kind of go this way, you know, at this point in his career. But is he kind of just washed? Is it a bad start, or has this been a trend for a while?
I mean, he's 41.
Okay. See, I didn't know he was that old. Golly. Okay, so that's pretty impressive to me, to be 41, still hanging on, even if you just got, you know, kind of cut. Do you guys think he play – like, does he get another contract, like a decent – I don't know enough about baseball to know what the rest of his career could even possibly look like. I'm still young in my baseball fandom.
I really haven't kept too much attention on him ever since he went out west, ever since he left the Cardinals. It's just harder to keep up with those teams out in L.A.
Yeah, his first pitch is at 10 o'clock.
Yeah. So I really – like, I know he wasn't playing good this year. I don't know how great – or how – big that slope has been, downward slope has been over the past few years. But I would imagine a team's going to pick him up to at least be a bench bat
after
he clears waivers of some sort because nobody's paying that contract.
Yeah. Tucker, he's making $30 million this year.
Yeah, for someone batting and just having that kind of, you know, output this year, that's a lot of money. That's a big dollar sign. So I've noticed – so he was with the Cardinals for 11 seasons – and was exceptional. I mean, he batted .328 as a career in 11 seasons. That's ridiculous. 445 homers. But in the 10 years with the Angels, batting .256, only 222 homers. Best MVP finish with the Cardinals. Obviously, he won one. He won it three times, 05, 08, 09. And the closest he's come with the Angels, 17th.
Yeah.
So, I mean, not nearly as good as he once was. But maybe he is good once as he ever was. Maybe a team gets a steal. Maybe he revitalizes a new team.
I don't know.
By revitalize, I mean maybe he doesn't bat 198. Maybe he bats 215, 220.
Get over the Mendoza line.
Yeah, just get up there, be average.
It's been a sharp decline for him, Tucker. I think he's about done.
He's hit that age. It's probably, yeah.
Tucker.
He's 41. I get it.
His stint with the Angels.
Okay.
Okay, so his last season with the Cardinals, he was hitting .299. Prior to that point, he had hit over .300 every year of his career.
Whew.
Okay? Once he signs that contract in L.A., from age 32 season to now where he's 41, .285, .258, .272, .244, .268, .241, .245, .244, .224, 198.
Yeah, that was a...
But what's the OPS?
It's going down. OPS? Let's see. Go back to that. Okay. 859, 767, 790, 787, 780, 672, 700, 734, 665, 622.
Yeah, so he's also down there in the average column now.
Yeah, to be... I think the...
700, I believe, is good... And then 800.
It's like average.
A 600 something is good. I looked at this last night.
Okay.
I think it's 600's good, and then average, good, like great, and then elite is like 900 and up.
Mm-hmm.
Like roughly. So Albert Pujols has regressed to an average baseball player, and he is not worth $30 million.
Yeah.
That's tough. That's tough for him. So you guys were talking right before we came in that you guys believe he's just going to go back to the Cardinals on a cheap deal?
I don't think so. I think Trey thinks so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think whether that's a one-day contract, so you can go and there just, and retire.
Okay, yeah.
Or
that, I think that would make a lot of sense.
I can see that. But, you know, my one of my friends who's a Cardinals fan, he was thinking that they bring him in for the whole season. He's not as big of a baseball fan as me, and so I had to explain to him there's literally no use for you to bring him in. I mean, you have...
Yeah, if you're not an American League team...
Yeah.
Like, so that if you wanted him, just use him as a DH, like, if that.
Yep. If you want to get use out of him, and I'm sure Albert Pujols, with whatever team he ends up with, if he continues to try to grind out this season, because his wife had hinted before the season that this season was going to be his last season of his career, I'm sure he's going to want to, you know, be guaranteed at bats, be guaranteed some playing time. I don't think he's going to want to go out as your backup first baseman. So I don't think the Cardinals option is one unless he's doing a one-day contract and just retiring.
Yeah, and at this point, I mean, doesn't it seem like it would probably be better for him to do that, like to try and, you know, hold on to any bit of reputation that he has of being Albert Pujols, you know?
I don't know, because, like, if he's looking at his resume, like, he has the opportunity, if he, you know, turns it around at the plate, or even if he doesn't, like, still, he's not that far away in terms of all-time hits to where if he pieces, I think I was looking at this prior to the season, if he pieces, like, 40 hits together, he can pass, like, one person above him on the hits list. Like, he's so there's not much distance in between him and some people in front of him.
Gotcha.
To where, like, it's possible for him to creep up more and more in the all-time hits list. So then,
there's still motivation for him to keep playing,
yeah,
in some form or fashion.
I think at this point, like, if I was Albert, I'd want to finish out the season.
Sure. Yeah. I've looked up an article just about possible landing spots for him. You know, maybe an actual baseball expert, someone who talks to people.
I'm a baseball expert.
What's going on?
But
sure.
Okay. If you want to go to secondary sources,
somebody with sources.
I got sources.
Okay. All
right. You just haven't asked for them.
Okay, well, I'm reading off of your blog here. This is what you've said.
Yeah.
They have number one is the Chicago White Sox. They said that there's a Tony La Russa connection.
Yeah.
He managed Pujols during his 11-year stint at the Cardinals.
They could kind of use a DH.
And the White Sox have been hammered with injuries, supposedly, with Jimenez, Luis Robert.
And their manager doesn't know the rules of baseball, apparently.
Oh.
Yeah, we'll just gloss over that one.
Okay.
He's old. Go ahead.
But number two, I'm not shocked. I figured we might make this list. Number two, Cincinnati Reds, they think. Because Joey Votto just broke his thumb.
Mm-hmm. And, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's going to miss several weeks. Wow. So they think maybe, you know, we have options at first base. But, I mean, they're saying there's a possibility that you'd ask Pujols to come in and play first base.
Would he play for the Cincinnati Reds?
That would be weird. That would be strange for him. He was a Cardinal. The Reds kind of hate the Cardinals. Probably hated Albert Pujols the entire time he was in St. Louis.
Probably hated the Reds.
And he's not that good. Like, I mean, you could move other guys on our team that would give you a whole lot better than he's batting 198.
Let's judge this by whether Folky would be satisfied.
That's true. I could send him a text message.
Yeah.
And we'll see. We'll just continue
on. I'm going to say no.
Yeah, I'm going to say Folky would – it's going to be a hell no. I don't think he wants him at all. He's going to say he's old, he's bad, and that he was a Cardinal. Those are going to be his three reasons.
I bet Folky –
and I kind of agree with him.
I bet Folky's suggestion would be – call Brandon Phillips, get him out of retirement, and bring him in to play first base.
Yeah, that'd be a good move. You know, that's as good as a 41-year-old Albert Pujols. So,
all right, what's third?
Cleveland.
They don't have a true first baseman.
And apparently they just can't hit. So, I mean, as a team, let's see.
I can see that.
They've combined to hit 189.
Yeah.
With zero home runs at first base.
He'd fit right in.
So, yeah, I mean, actually, he bats better than your combined first base production. So, Cleveland, you got your first baseman. Here you go. Go get him. Seems like the most reasonable landing spot.
Mm-hmm. Four?
Albert Pujols.
No, the fourth team. Is it three teams? That's it?
Yeah, the fourth team. Would you like to take a guess? Is there
Yankees.
The Yankees.
Yeah, no,
they're on here.
That's just not
Luke Voigt's working his way back from the
injury.
Yeah,
he hit a home run yesterday in his rehab assignment. Yeah.
New York's first baseman have hit actually lower than Cleveland's. I didn't mean to rag on Cleveland, but your first baseman have hit 159.
Yeah, it's been bad.
Since Luke Voigt's been out.
It's been really bad. Now, if this happened like after spring training, I would have gratefully taken Albert Pujols because our first base options were so bad.
Right.
I mean, Jay Bruce had to retire after 2 weeks because he was just, the game had gone by. Like, he stunk so bad.
Yeah.
To where, like, Albert Pujols would have been just great for us. But now Luke Voit's doing his rehab assignment. He'll be back soon. Is Albert Pujols going to really want to be a bench guy for us? I mean, I guess if he wants a ring before he goes out, one more ring. The Yankees are a legendary organization. Right. He'd have to shave the goatee, though. That's a problem.
He loses power.
I still think that's one of the dumbest things.
It is.
I have to admit, I'm not a fan of it.
It's a little old-fashioned.
Yeah, it is.
I'm surprised Garrett Cole shaved his beard to go there.
Yeah, but now he's got the long hair. They're allowing the longer hair now.
I have a response from Folky. I'll say every word that I'm allowed to say on radio. No. That's it. I asked him, how would you feel about Albert Pujols playing first while Votto heals? And he said, for the Reds? No question mark, nothing. Like, he was very, for the Reds. And I said, yes. And he said, everything I can say is no.
Was there a four-letter word before that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
A strong
word. Well, he's probably heated now. He's probably just pacing wherever
yeah,
he's
I'm
at.
Sure. Like, I wonder if he thinks it's a possibility, and now he's Googling like a madman, like, oh, my God, no, they're not hiring. They're not signing Albert Pujols. Because it might make him have a come apart. I don't know if Folky could handle a guy like Albert Pujols being
Would that be
guy.
Like the Yankees signing like David Ortiz or
yes.
Manny Ramirez
yes.
at the end of there?
Yes.
Yeah, that would be pretty weird.
I would question my faith, my loyalty to the fan base.
God. Yeah, David Ortiz signing with the Yankees
David Ortiz
would have been upside down world.
I think he's a good human being, but
is.
At the end of the day, he's a cheater and no one likes to talk about it.
He's a fun character, but you hate him, and that's okay. Then they have.
He should be getting as much hate as A-Rod gets for using steroids, but no one likes to talk about it.
He's going
to
be the first
they
DH
just
to get into the
over,
Hall of Fame.
They gloss over the fact that he did take steroids, and suspiciously we just never talked about it. Never suspended, and then he was never seemingly tested again.
You're very passionate about this.
Yeah.
I've never heard of a David Ortiz steroids.
Yeah,
problem.
Look
I
it up.
I believe it, though.
Google it.
I believe it, though. Look
you know
him.
What his excuse was?
What?
The New York media trying to blackmail him.
Ah, it's a good one. That's
trying
good
to make him look bad.
That's a good move.
That's the dumbest take I've ever heard.
It worked.
That's the dumbest
excuse. It worked, obviously.
And it somehow worked.
It worked. Okay, one last team. As we've already mentioned, this person also believes that the Cardinals are an option, but it would just be to just kind of
retire.
Just kind of just be on the team.
Right off into the sunset.
For the last season.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it would just be... They think they just bring him back for a few series as like a little... You know,
parting
going
gift.
Away party, yeah, something like that. And then the most likely thing they have on here is retirement. They think Pujols will retire and hang up the cleats.
All right.
It's a shame. He's a legend.
All right.
But with that.
Before we go to break here, I want you to reply to Folky and say, how would you feel about the Reds reaching out to Brandon Phillips and bringing him back to just play first base while Votto's out?
I'll send that. We'll talk about that on the other side.
Okay.
We'll be right back. Welcome back in. Overtime, Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Rolling along on this fine May 6th. I think we're going to do a little trivia. We've been rolling along. Talked a lot of baseball. We're going to get back to the baseball at the top of the hour. Talk a little baseballs. But I figured it'd be good to, get a little friendly competition. We like to do this stuff a lot. How you feel? Trey, have you participated in any of our games? You played the birthday game, correct?
Yeah.
And trivia?
I've been on the show twice before.
Yeah,
so.
I think I remember you being incredibly good at one day's trivia.
Yeah, I think.
One of the days. I listened. I wasn't here. I wasn't able to be here, but I could
I think
listen.
That was when me and Alex Olive might have been.
Yeah, you guys did a great job in. That day. Yeah, it was a good show. So, I've got some questions. Just random. Sports-oriented, but not all your typical, you know, baseball, football, stuff like that.
Okay.
But questions you should probably know.
Okay.
We'll go with this one. The Triple Crown Award is given to a horse that wins which three races? These are well-known.
Okay.
I know this. Is this free-for-all?
It's
or?
Open.
Okay, it's the Belmont Stakes, the Preakness Stakes, and the Kentucky Derby.
Ding, ding, ding. Correct.
I knew Belmont and Kentucky. I just was trying to figure out that third one. Yeah,
yeah, that one I would have forgotten, too. Okay. Which golf tournament did Tiger Woods win by 12 strokes, cementing his first ever major championship
win? The Masters.
It was the Masters.
Let's go.
Okay.
1-1.
1-1. Okay. I'm trying to pick one that's not, like, too hard. What is the national sport of Canada?
Curling.
Incorrect.
Hockey.
Incorrect.
I
would have thought that too, but apparently
I knew it wasn't hockey. I thought it was curling.
It's definitely one of those not mainstream sports. But it's a well-known sport.
Luge.
No. Don't think winter. This is definitely a summer sport.
Soccer?
Similar, but not.
Field hockey.
Very close.
Polo? Lacrosse.
It is lacrosse. Lacrosse is the national sport of Canada for some reason. All right, next question. What do you call it when a bowler makes three strikes in a row?
Turkey.
Easy. I thought that would be a close one. It's a turkey. Ding, ding, ding.
I'm not good at bowling.
I'm not either, but I freaking love it. Like, I only go bowling maybe like once every 2 years. But always have a great time.
I haven't been bowling in like 6 years.
Yeah, I went for the first time in a few years last week.
Mm-hmm.
I finished the worst out of my group of six friends. Yeah,
man.
I think I told you guys about this. I was in the 60s.
That's 10 tough.
Frames. Yeah.
All right. A sporting event is held every year on Memorial Day coming up this month. What is it? I will let you know. It is not played with a ball.
Hot dog eating contest.
No.
No, that's on the 4th of July. On Memorial Day.
The winner of this, I don't know if this is a dead giveaway, drinks from a glass of milk. Every time.
Oh, the Indy 500.
Oh, dear God, I don't know. Everybody gets a point for that one. That was...
I mean, okay. that was about dead on.
Yeah, the same syllables at the same time, that was... Okay, that just happens sometimes. All right. We will go with something like some of these. What is the only sport to be played on the moon?
Soccer.
Incorrect.
Catch.
They probably threw something to each other, but no. Think of like videos you've seen of Armstrong and Aldrin on the moon. Because when I read the answer, I was like, oh, yeah, I saw him do that.
Sport.
It's not exactly like I don't believe it was like a regulated game. But they did the thing.
Football? Did they kick a field goal?
Nope. Is that it? No.
I have no idea.
They played golf. They hit golf balls on the moon and sent them.
That'd probably be pretty fun.
That would be so fun. Like that, honestly, being able to just hit it and it disappears. You stop seeing it. That'd be pretty sick.
Gone forever.
Yeah, I wonder if you hit one of those towards the Earth, though. Would it carry far enough to, like, catch orbit?
It would burn up in there.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I forget about the old atmosphere. It's a pretty good blanket to protect us from stuff. Oh, wow. Who was this is hard. I don't think you guys will get it, but it's an interesting question to me. Who was the first president to throw the ceremonial first pitch at a Major League Baseball game? It's not recent.
Woodrow Wilson.
Incorrect. They are three named... president. They have three names down here.
Is it William Henry Taft?
You're close.
Is that I don't know if I said his name right.
William Henry Harrison.
William Henry.
No, incorrect.
John. Didn't he die after like he's a closer. Month,
William Henry Harrison did die. Yeah, I don't think he didn't even have much time to go to a baseball game during his presidency. You were somewhat correct. I'll give you like half credit. William Howard Taft.
William Howard Taft.
The fact that you went immediately to Taft is impressive.
I was just trying to think of older presidents, yeah. Well, baseball was still.
And you don't really think, you know what? I think that should be talked about more. You don't think of Taft as the guy going out there on the baseball diamond throwing a baseball. I think he is rudely typecast as the bathtub guy.
Yeah.
Which is wrong. He was out there throwing baseballs. All right. What team was originally called the New York Titans in the NFL?
The Giants.
Incorrect.
The New York Titans.
The Ravens.
Incorrect.
The Patriots.
Incorrect. Think about it. It's the New York Titans.
Tennessee Titans?
Incorrect. All right. It is the New York Jets.
Really?
You guys just danced around. Really? That one. I thought you'd guess both New York teams right out of the gate.
They're it would irrelevant.
Be whoever picked. Irrelevant. Both New York teams are irrelevant?
No, the Jets are.
Yeah. New York is
That's
pretty
why
dead
I guessed
when it
the
comes
Giants first.
Yeah. Okay.
Also, Patriots, I'd assume red, white, and blue.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, I get that.
Giants are red, white, and there's some. All right. Well, there's some red.
Little NFL history question.
Okay.
What NFL team lost the first Super Bowl in 1970?
The Chiefs.
Incorrect.
They have a tendency
it's
to
the
do that.
Packers. No, the Raiders.
Okay. So technically, they called it the. You were technically correct, but that was called like the World Championship. They have this titled as the first Super Bowl, which was Super Bowl IV. So, Super Bowl IV. Who lost Super Bowl IV?
The Packers.
Incorrect.
Super Bowl IV. The Steelers.
No, they're an NFC team. NFC North.
Bears.
No.
Lions.
No. Vikings.
It is the Vikings. The Chiefs beat the Vikings. Okay. Which NFL team has their logo located on only one side of their helmets?
Steelers.
Steelers.
Yeah.
Correct. What is the oldest team in the NFL? Think old. Been in the news a lot recently.
Packers.
There we go. Shoo. That's all right. It's all right.
I'm not an NFL history buff like you.
Okay. All right. How about this? Who was the first WNBA player to dunk in a playoff game?
Brittany Griner.
It was Brittany Griner. Are you a big WNBA guy?
I would have come to that, but he just blurted that out in the blink
of an eyelash.
He's thinking quicker.
You can't get mad. Let's see. What are the two states in the United States that have yet to send a team to the NCAA? I'm assuming NBA, maybe, is what they're trying to get at here.
To the NBA what?
Like, I guess they haven't had a player come out of their state and make it to the
NBA?
That would have made more sense.
Well,
thank you.
I blame, I don't think of the questions. I
think it's poor reading on your part.
You think so?
Yeah.
I present the questions. I don't write them. So I read that word for word, and it didn't make sense. That's my bad.
Alaska and Maine.
It is Alaska and Maine. What the heck? How do you know that? Why do you know that? Why did you know that?
My phone. I'm not even on.
Yeah,
I'm
no.
Not on.
That's nuts. Wow. I didn't even ask the question right, and he knew it. Here's one just for fun, just to remind us of all the bad times. Who was the first NBA player to test positive for COVID-19?
Rudy Gobert.
It was stupid Rudy Gobert. Touched every single microphone.
Fourth there point. Go. Let's
you,
go.
There you go. When it comes to history of, 8 months ago, you got that down. Oh, that was a year. Oh, my God. That was
a year
ago.
I thought you were going to say HIV, so I was going to blurt out Magic Johnson.
I mean, I get that you were waiting on the fastball, and I threw a curveball at you. Okay. But that's all right. It was a good showing. I think Trey won that round of trivia.
You think?
Yeah, that's okay. We'll be talking baseball balls at the top of the hour. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Overtime, Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. About to talk a little baseball Vols. The Base Vols taking on Missouri this weekend in a 3-game series, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Tony Vitello's alma mater.
I forget, yeah. He coached. He didn't coach at Missouri, did he not?
I don't think so.
Okay.
He just
played
there. Oh, he did?
He did coach Missouri?
Yep.
Okay.
I know he played there.
Teach them a lesson in letting him go. Missouri is really bad, right, Alex? From what I've gathered, I've looked at their record, I've looked at their stats. They seem to be pretty bad at the sport of baseball.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd say worse than the SEC.
So are we talking expectations this weekend series? You don't expect a sweep ever, but are we disappointed if we don't sweep a team that's 12-29?
Should sweep them.
Whenever we're a team of our caliber playing against somebody who lost a series to Grand Canyon – lost a series to Omaha. No.
Yeah, they have 12 wins on the season as a whole.
It's just...
I posed that question to Bear and Russ on the drive, and Russ said, yes, we'll sweep. Bear does not think we'll get the sweep.
Thinks we'll get lazy one of these games?
Yeah, he just thinks that with it being a homecoming for Vitello...
They'll play with an extra chip on their shoulder?
He thinks that they won't play with it being like it being his home.
Oh, the Tennessee players?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. You think I like Missouri will play with a chip on their shoulder. Yeah. I mean, they're coming off of six straight losses from Georgia, Kansas State, and Alabama combined. Whew. Not close. I mean, they were within one run out of one of those games, beat by at least three or at least two or three every other game. Beaten 13-8, 11-8. Not a good baseball team right now. Do they excel at anything? Are they all right at anything? Do they have decent pitching? Do they have obviously not. They gave up 13-11 back to back just, you know, 2 weekends ago.
Yeah, I don't think so. When you're a 12-win baseball team in the SEC, like I guess it's impressive that they have 5 wins in the conference. I mean, I wouldn't expect them
in the best conference, right? Baseball, yeah. College baseball is controlled by the SEC. Like
even SEC more so than football is.
Yeah, the SEC makes up a majority of like the top 10.
Even like the bad SEC teams would still be good teams in other leagues.
Yeah, so. Maybe their record is a little bit weighted just because they've been playing the best competition, but they're about to play the number 4 team in the country. That's 32-9, 3-1 in their last 4. Not scared of anybody. We should expect to sweep a team like this. I mean,
here's some context.
Okay,
Kentucky, we just beat last week.
Mm-hmm.
Beat them 2 out of 3. They lost to Kentucky. They lost a series to Kentucky. First game, they lost 10-2. Second game, they lost 5-4. Third game, they won 5-3.
Are they last in the SEC, Missouri?
They're tied for last with Auburn.
So just very, very bad. I mean, looking at...
They got demolished by Vanderbilt in 2 games.
Yeah, I've got their, like...
No shame in that.
How they've done versus certain ranked opponents. Like, 1 through 25 teams... They're 1-6 on the season, only beating a top 25 team once. And this isn't like AP or the D1 baseball poll. This is RPI. And 26 through 50, 2-10. 51 through 100, 2-6.
Whew.
101 to 200, 4-5. 201 or worse is their only category that they have a winning record in, and they are 3-2.
They have a 6-game losing streak going into this.
Yeah, they're pitiful.
Which is why I think that Bear could be right in terms of one game. You could see maybe Missouri ending up breaking that streak and getting a win.
Because at a certain point, you kind of become due. I mean,
yeah.
To a certain extent.
Especially in baseball. Like those kind of long losing streaks, they don't happen often at all.
No, and I mean, sometimes there will eventually come a day where every ball you put into play will find a gap. Like that just happens sometimes.
Or on Tennessee's side, you'll put the barrel on the ball, have good contact, but
right
they just find a fielder every single time.
Every single time. That can happen. That's baseball. But I think top to bottom when it comes to just talent and just evaluating these two teams against each other, it's not close. It's not even in the same league.
Yep.
If this were, you know, if there was a possibility of like relegation in the SEC baseball, Missouri wouldn't be in this league. They wouldn't be close. You know, they would be 2 leagues below us.
Yeah.
Just because of how there's a just complete talent disparity. That's the word. I about said discrepancy. So that's not a word.
Discrepancy.
Attaboy, Will.
Maybe you meant discrepancy.
I can combine the two. One of those days.
How will you? Like I'm thinking, with a sweep, I'm wondering how it affects us going into Arkansas next weekend. Like, do you think us maybe losing a game, dropping a game in the series that we probably shouldn't, like if that'll help our team more so going into the home series against number 1 ranked Arkansas, or would a sweep just kind of give them confidence like, yeah, we're on a roll right now, we can roll right through Arkansas?
I mean, I think it would be nice to just kind of find a rhythm right here to where you're just absolutely on the ball. You're crushing the ball. Mm. You know, you're getting the barrel to the ball really easily. Pitchers are hitting their spots. Like, you know, you kind of it's like a tune-up almost, because it's not quite – it's going to be nowhere near like playing Arkansas. Arkansas is actually a good baseball team and can beat you every day.
The best in the country.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's not like it's going to really prepare, I don't think would be the right word, but to get you in a good mindset of, you know, you're doing well. I think you feel good, you play good.
Yep.
And if you absolutely trounce Missouri in three games and play your best baseball and roll into Arkansas feeling your best, I think that's probably your best outcome. Yeah. And it doesn't tarnish your record. You know, I'd like to have the highest possible seed going into the tournament, and I think just taking care of business against a bad team like Missouri is pretty important.
Yeah. You make a good point there, because now that I think about it, I think probably something that Vitello would want to happen this weekend would be some of your back-end relievers who have been struggling lately, like Kirby Connell, getting him back on track. Getting him with some confidence coming out of the pen, that'd be huge for you.
Getting him in situations where he's coming into in relief, where he has a cushion, you know,
yeah.
like a 3-4-5-run cushion, to where he can just go out there and do what he does and get his, you know, confidence up.
Yep,
that's really good for those guys.
Yeah, and then Will Heflin to bounce back, because he had a rough start against Kentucky, probably his first bad start of the season, really. For him to bounce back this weekend, that'd be huge. I mean, Cheese continuing to deal, you'd want to see that.
Cheese.
And then Blade Tidwell, I mean, this is a great opportunity for him to really have some confidence when you're starting off against, you know, a poor Missouri team. Maybe if you get 6-7 innings of quality start at a Blade Tidwell, I mean, his confidence will be through the roof as a freshman going up against Arkansas next weekend.
Yeah, and that's certainly what we want.
Yep.
We want that confidence skyrocketing. We need these guys. McGregor walking off of the mound, like Trevor Bauer.
Yep. I'm trying to...
I need a moxie.
Trying to pull up here, see how the rest of the SEC stacks up this weekend. Vanderbilt's got Alabama.
Yeah,
it's easy. Arkansas has Georgia.
Okay.
Georgia could take one from them.
Maybe.
They
take one. Arkansas hasn't lost a series yet this
season.
No,
yeah, I'm saying...
Hasn't lost a single series.
Not in SEC play.
We've only lost one.
And it was Vandy, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And I think Vandy's lost two. They lost to the series to Georgia, and they lost the series to Florida.
Yep.
Shoo.
Mississippi State has South Carolina. That'll be
an interesting series.
Probably. That might be the highlight SEC series for the weekend. Yeah, Florida's got Kentucky. That's not great. What does Ole Miss have here? Ole Miss has Texas A&M. Yeah. That's probably the highlight series right there, is Mississippi State versus South Carolina. And, I mean, for Tennessee as well, they don't have Mississippi State on the schedule, and right now Mississippi State's ranked above us in top 25.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, this series you can kind of judge maybe where Tennessee's at compared to Mississippi State when we're done playing South Carolina, because I think we have South Carolina right after Arkansas. We go to Columbia to face them.
Okay.
And then I think after that series, you can kind of judge and see where Mississippi State and Tennessee compare to one another.
Yeah, we're going to close this season out, you know, playing Missouri this weekend. You get one game against Tennessee Tech, the Arkansas series, a game against Belmont, South Carolina series to end out the season.
Yep.
I have never watched playoff tournament baseball in college.
Mm-hmm.
So how exactly does this work? How many rounds are there?
So the
I know pretty much nothing.
So the first four games are single elimination.
Okay.
And those are your, I think it's your 6 to your, I guess, 12 seeds. They face off because your first four teams have a bye.
Gotcha.
Actually, so no, it'd be your 5 to your 12 they have to play, and it's single elimination there.
Whew.
But then from that point on, the teams that advance from those first four games, then depending on how they rank seed-wise, they'd face off against the top four seeds in the SEC. But then from then on, it's double elimination.
And we're going to be one of the top four seeds,
exactly.
Right?
So you get a first-round bye, and then if we happen to drop our first game in the SEC tournament, we have another chance because it's double elimination.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not going to drop a first game with Dallas on the mound.
I cannot wait.
Don't jinx it. Don't jinx it, Trey.
I'm not jinxing. I'm just confident.
I'm excited. Like, we, this is the...
We haven't had this much excitement for
any sport.
Yeah.
Well, maybe basketball. But let's.
But basketball, it was still tempered expectations more so than this.
I'm trying to temper them right now. Like, we need to shore up that four seed because you've got, like I said, right now you're the four seed in the SEC because you got Arkansas ahead of you, you got Vanderbilt ahead of you, and you have Mississippi State slightly ahead of you. But you have
Florida on our heels.
Florida's on your heels. Like, because this Arkansas series is going to be big for a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
For one, you're playing the number one team in the country. So you're facing up against a team that if you want to get to Omaha, like, they'll probably be there. Like, that's the kind of quality team you're going to face. So it's a good judgment test. But also in terms of conference play, like, it's important because if you get swept or you lose that series, and depending on how the rest of the regular season ends up, like, against South Carolina, who's no sleeper to play with in that final series, like, you can end up being a four seed now and then dropping all the way to a six or seven. That's what's so dangerous about the SEC.
That one game elimination is kind of scary. Like, one bad game from a pitcher or...
Oh, I feel the same way about the MLB wild card playoffs, the way that works with a one-game playoff.
But like Trey mentioned there, for Tennessee, I think if you're put into that scenario, you probably have a good fair amount of confidence and Cheese Dallas pitching for you in that first game.
Yeah.
Like, he's been solid all season long and dependable for them.
Mm-hmm.
And the games in which he has dropped, like that opening game against Vanderbilt, where he faced off against Kumar Rocker, who was dealing against us. And still, Chad Dallas put out a quality start. Gave you six innings, only allowed three runs. But the problem was your offense did nothing for him.
Yeah.
They were hitting the ball hard that game. They were just, like you said earlier, they were hitting them right at people against Rocker. Because there were a couple that they hit to the track.
Yeah, if the wall was 10 feet shorter or even 5 feet shorter, we hit like 4 home runs by the 5th inning in that game. But just not even close. But that's been your baseball talk. Missouri taking on Tennessee. Coming to Tennessee, or are we on the road?
We're on the road.
On the road.
Did you not see Evan Russell's video from the airport?
I did not.
Okay, we'll have to talk about that.
All right, we'll talk about that on the other side. Welcome back. Overtime, Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Wrapping up a little bit of baseball talk. Trey, you mentioned a video, an Evan Russell video today.
Yeah, he posted it on his Twitter account.
Okay.
Of him and the team at the airport.
All right. I'm going to go look at that right now. I'll just watch it live on air.
Hold on. So let me give some background for the viewers who haven't seen it. So I guess the team does some themes on their road trip of how to dress. And the theme for the Missouri road trip was jerseys. So you had guys wear some of their favorite jerseys.
Football, basketball,
some
baseball.
Guy wore his uniform.
Yes, Kyle Booker.
That's beautiful.
Kyle Booker. Full uniform.
Absolutely.
Full UT uniform.
Beautiful. Yeah. I love it. That's his favorite uniform. His favorite jersey.
It's a good one.
That's what people are saying. Like, it's smart
on
him.
He's a team player.
His favorite team is the one he plays for.
Dang right. That rocks. And he's ready to go.
Step off the bus and get in the batter's box.
Yeah, let's go. He's ready. Locked in. Got the shades on. I love it. I love it a lot. We got a caller on the line. We got Westchester. Westchester, we got you. How you doing, man?
Good, gentlemen. How we doing today?
Doing well.
I want to switch gears a second. I've had the show off for a few minutes. Have you guys talked about TJ Finley at all?
We have not.
Am I a total idiot for thinking, why not? I mean, let's get him, right? I mean, if he started as a true freshman in the SEC, and I don't know, he somehow, I mean,
that would give us seven? Will we have seven or six?
It'd be up there, yeah.
Westchester, I don't know if you listened to the drive earlier today, but Russell was touching on that and said that Finley impressed him more with his freshman season than Joe Milton did at Michigan. So, like you said, why not? He can't hurt.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with the why not. I mean, what's the downside? You have one too many quarterbacks and he doesn't play. Oh, well, if someone comes in and is better than him, then the right guy won the job. Yeah. And if he, you know, impressed at LSU as a freshman, started in the SEC as a freshman, bring him in.
I just know that somehow, wherever this guy goes, if we ignore it, he's going to find a way in his last 3 years of eligibility. I guess maybe he has four left if it was COVID last year. And he doesn't have to sit out a year if he transfers, so potentially he has 4 years left, I think. Am I right on that?
Yeah, you're
theoretically.
Right.
Yeah, that would.
The math adds up.
Yeah, so that checks out.
So Tennessee. So the most Tennessee thing is somehow we're going to lose to this guy, right?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, that's how being a Tennessee fan is. Like, anytime you think you want a guy, or we think we got a guy, he will eventually find a way to break our hearts.
Yeah, I look at Will Grier.
When
he was at Florida, leaves, goes to West Virginia.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, I'm thinking, sure, let's add him. But if we're going to add him, like, I don't think it's worth using one of the few scholarships we got or roster spots we have open on another quarterback. Like, I feel like it's got to be addition by subtraction. Like, you got to be getting rid of one of the other quarterbacks who are on the roster, which, I mean, depending on who it is, I'd probably be fine with. But when we looked at the spring game, when you looked at the guys who were here last year, Ryan Maurer, Harrison Bailey in particular, they didn't look bad in the spring game. So then it would come down to really Caden Salter, and are we willing to really give up on him before he even started?
I wouldn't be willing to give up Caden Salter. Like,
for a guy that's already started in the conference? I would.
I think there's just that untapped potential that we all think Salter might have.
Yeah, and it's easier to hope about a guy that you've not seen play, but to not even see him take a snap, I feel like if we let Caden Salter walk, he will be one of those guys that goes somewhere and absolutely busts us for the next 3-4 years.
Guys call me crazy, but I'm tired of hoping for potential and hoping for a quarterback. I mean,
no,
that's been the name of the game for the last how many years? Come on now. Let's get serious for a second. Yeah. We got a guy that's started in the SEC. I don't know what's going on at LSU. I don't know if he's leaving because of a coaching change or I don't know if the guys that are going to replace him are better or if it's not a system fit. I don't think any of us really know why he's leaving, but there's a lot of legitimate reasons why he could be not starting even as the best quarterback if he's not in a fit in their new system, right?
Yeah. That's fair. Yeah. I think when we look back at this, and Westchester, you could be completely right. Like, we could look at Finley and him end up going off wherever he ends up. And as Tennessee fans, we could end up sitting here and talk about how we had the opportunity, we could have gone after him, but instead we went for two other transfers and Hendon Hooker and Joe Milton. And if those guys don't pan out, we're going to sit here and regret it. And I completely agree. Like, I agree with you on maybe we should look around and see if he'd be interested in coming here. But my thought initially is, like, what, when you look at the defense and how many players we've lost on that side of the ball and how many players we have banged up right now, I'd rather shore up that side of the ball because that side of the ball is going to be on the field the most compared to the offense, to where I don't know if I'd want a sixth or seventh quarterback.
Yeah. I want to make a comment on this baseball video before I get out of the way here. Maybe I'm totally misreading this, but I know even in high school, players don't ever take their game jerseys home. So if this kid got punked into this video, then there's an equipment manager or somebody behind it, because he had to show up at the ballpark and say, I want my jersey to travel in, right? Like, he didn't have that at the house, did he?
No chance.
Sure, no chance. This was definitely, like, he had to go ask for permission and, like, a whole thing. It probably wasn't that complicated. I'm sure, like, he might have just put it on at the facility before they went to the airport. But
I think he's got hazed. I think they were just like, you don't get this, do you, freshman? You don't wear your jersey? Sure, this is going to be hilarious.
That actually, that's not a bad, that could happen. Tell him that everybody's wearing their uniforms, and then everybody just show up in NBA and other jerseys while he's all alone in his own jersey.
I mean, in the tweet, he did call him out for being a freshman, so.
That's true.
Yeah.
It could have been a little bit of hazing. You like that. You like that sort of camaraderie on a ball team. All in good fun.
Oh, I do.
Nobody's going getting
into
hurt.
Going into a big series against Coach's old team, you got to, freshman with a little chip on his shoulder or something to prove to his teammates, you know, yeah, whatever edge we can get, because, you know, Bear did point out earlier, the great Tony Vitello, who I hope we don't lose this offseason, but again, we probably will, does not have the best record against Missouri.
It's time to change that. It's time to add three in the W column.
He's changed a lot of things this season. Westchester, what's stopping him now?
Missouri.
I believe.
Thanks, guys. Have a good show.
I appreciate it, Westchester. I mean, I looked up TJ Finley's stats, and they're not bad. I mean, he only played in five games. He had five touchdowns, but he did throw five picks. Granted, that's better than what we saw, I guess. I mean, you could argue that it's not.
And that's better than Milton's numbers from Michigan.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he had a quarterback rating of 118.2. That's pretty good. 941 yards, you know, on pace for, you know, around 2,000 yards if this is stretched out to a full season, which who's to say he doesn't get even hotter as he gets more games. He only had five games under his belt. But I don't hate the idea. I mean, if Josh Heupel, you know, just wants to go all in and say, I have to find a quarterback, the way to start out a coaching career is to have a guy. And if he's still looking around and thinking, I'm not 100% confident that I have a guy in this room, then he probably should add a quarterback.
But now that I think of that, worried would you be if he went out and brought in like a TJ Finley?
I'd be worried. Because that means that we have six that are awful, or five
that have not impressed.
That he is still searching. That would be an issue. I think if we don't go for TJ Finley, that at least tells me. I mean, and will we ever really know if we go for him? Like, we might get offer him, and he posted on Twitter or something like that. But I mean, we're not going to know what's talked about between the team and him. But that at least, if we don't get TJ Finley or we don't add another quarterback, I mean, surely I don't think we will. That at least gives me some form of confidence in Heupel of him thinking that he has someone he can work with. Mm-hmm. He may not think he has a superstar, but he has someone. He has a good track record of coaching up quarterbacks and being able to get guys to be productive that otherwise might not have been. I think he's going to be able to get one of these guys into an average to slightly above average quarterback. I think the only one that could be a superstar is Harrison Bailey, and he's still got a lot.
You still think so?
He's still got a lot of work to be able to do that. I think right now he's average.
I've given up on that.
You've given up
already.
He's got a decent ball.
I think
he can throw the ball.
That ball he
well.
Threw to Jancic was on the money.
Pretty nice.
I mean.
Still, I think Vol fans were kind of hyping him up a little bit too much when he was coming in here.
Sure.
And
that
then
that's what we do.
Yeah.
I think
all the dump offs I saw him throw last year,
was that his fault, or was that
offensive scheme? That's why I'm intrigued, and I'm still giving him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt to see how he does in an offensive system.
If you put Joe Burrow in that offense last year, they would have still been awful.
Yeah, it would have been bad. Yeah. Well, Tennessee sucks at football.
I tend to lean more pessimistically.
Yeah, as we all do. That's the life of a Vol fan. We will be right back.
I'll be as high as that ivory tower you're living now.
Welcome back in. Overtime, Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Fantastic selection, Alex.
Yeah, I was telling Will about this last week, and Trey was here. I didn't know about this song until I had been a kneeling.
Really?
My sophomore year.
The first time you heard Friends in Low Places was in Neyland Stadium?
Yeah, and everyone kind of embraced together, and
you sing the song.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Had no idea what the song
was.
What
a moment. The whole, oh my God, that's one thing. Like, after COVID, we've not had a full Neyland Stadium, a full 102-455.
We didn't have one before.
That's true. But I mean,
we're not going to have one when we're back.
No, but okay, full enough, you know, maybe 90,000 still. To have that many people just together singing Garth Brooks. That's what this world needs.
After a win on the third Saturday in October.
Dude, don't get me started. That's going to be in 25 years, huh?
No, Saban won't be retired by then.
Yeah, that's
give it
true.
A year, man.
It'll never retire.
When we're eligible for a bowl next year, everyone will be filing in year two of high
school. Oh, yeah, for sure. But Alex, you were telling us something about old Adam Schefter in the break?
Yeah, so we all know... He broke that Aaron Rodgers news about him wanting out of Green Bay on draft day, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that everybody has still talked about ever since.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, turns out, in an interview he did with the Dan Patrick Show, he reveals that it wasn't any sort of new information that came in that day that made him report it. He had heard all offseason, every week, more and more stuff about Aaron Rodgers and the potential of getting traded. And it just so happened on draft day, like, I guess he had heard more whispers during the week. And he was like, look, I can't afford to wait any longer, because he was like, I don't know when this is going to happen. Like, it could be next week. It could be next month. It could be tomorrow, today, in which Aaron Rodgers gets moved. So Adam Schefter decided to drop the news he had been hearing all offseason on draft day.
Why are people mad? Because I'm not, like, fully in on, like, being angry. Like, people are angry about this, right? Is this a thing people are thinking, like a bad thing he did?
Yeah, people are kind of diminishing Schefter's credibility on this.
Really?
Because and the way Schefter kind of phrased it, it makes him look like
he was
I wanted to be sure I was first on the scoop before anyone else was. In case, like, anything official happened, I didn't want to be late on it. Like, I wanted to come out and say, I've been hearing whispers of this. So then if it did indeed happen later on, I could tell people I was right. But, like, he didn't say that. It was just the manner in which he said it. People are making it out to seem like that.
I mean, he wasn't wrong, though.
Yeah, he's not wrong. So I think that's the one thing that I don't think you get really mad at him for. But,
I would understand being upset about the timing, I guess.
Sure.
Doing it
on trying to upstage the draft.
Yeah. Right before the draft, too.
Yeah, so I get that. Like, the timing was a little, you know, he kind of upstaged the draft. Was he trying to, like, stifle a trade in the draft?
I don't know.
Like, get a GM, like, you know, it's the day of the draft, and then they're like, oh my God, Aaron Rodgers kind of wants out. Do we put together a package
before the report actually came out, didn't the 49ers offer up Jimmy G, the third overall pick, and, like, two other first round picks for Aaron Rodgers, and they said no.
Yeah.
And then the report came out, like, the next day that Aaron Rodgers was wanting out, and everybody's like, well, if he's wanting out, why wouldn't you have accepted? That was, like, a crazy...
A solid trade. I don't know. But, I mean, it wasn't like the Adam Schefter thing was completely out of the blue either. Like, after they kicked that field goal in the NFC Championship game, everybody's like, well, yeah, Aaron's going to be pissed about that. And then they asked him about it in the post-game presser, and it's really just been a ton of conjecture about Aaron Rodgers' feelings about the organization until it's kind of put pen to paper with Adam Schefter saying, you know, that he actually wants out and stuff like that. But it's kind of – it isn't like only Adam Schefter's been hearing this either.
Yeah,
for some reason in our brains it became officially real when Adam Schefter said it.
Yeah, because he sourced some news reporter in Indiana, Paul Allen, I think was his name. He came out with something.
Yeah.
But, my thing is, why didn't you do it, like, earlier that week? Like, why didn't you tell us, the football fans, like, we're okay, it's draft week? Like, if you tell us on Monday, like, I feel like the excitement would have been equivalent. Like, people would have been like, oh, are we going to see a trade before the draft?
Yeah.
And then, you know, draft day, we could have been thinking it through. I feel like if him announcing it right before the draft, it kind of took away from the whole draft thing, because you're sitting there like, whoa, Aaron Rodgers is wanting out.
Yeah. And it did kind of seem like Aaron Rodgers, like, kind of floated it out there on his own.
Yeah.
Like, he told Adam Schefter, hey, I want out now, and he said it on draft day. Like, it made Aaron Rodgers, I mean, he already, like, kind of was already painted in a negative light, regardless of when you put that information out, just because you're going to have the people like Terry Bradshaw, who say, you know, shut up and play for the team that drafted you, just like he did. But if it doesn't seem like Aaron Rodgers just tried to upstage the draft and, you know, try to force a trade on draft day, you know, and it's a week earlier, it's a little lighter on him. You know?
Yeah, and didn't Will say yesterday on our show how J.C. Horn's dad, Joe Horn, the legendary Joe Horn, came out after the draft and said, blamed Aaron Rodgers for stealing the spotlight.
Yeah, he was
away
upset.
From J.C. Horn and I guess the rest of the drafted players.
Yeah, because he was a talking point the entire first night.
Yeah,
like between every draft pick, sure they talked about the draft, the guy who was just picked, and the team that's up next. But Aaron Rodgers was mentioned what about every 10 minutes?
Yep.
I mean, he really did steal the shine off of some of these guys,
especially for the Packers. The players that the Packers ended up drafting, like I'm sure Aaron Rodgers was talked about every single time a Packers player was taken.
Yeah, it was really just all about Aaron Rodgers for a majority. I mean, if you compared it to, you know, who got the most attention that night, it was Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
So, I can't really blame Adam Schefter though, because his job is to be first. It's kind of his job. I mean, it's just the releasing it on draft day is kind of weird.
Yeah,
that's the only thing I could find something wrong with it.
Maybe he needs to clarify his comments more. Like maybe he got some, like another tip the night before the draft or even that morning.
Yeah,
it was like, you know what?
This is the straw that
I gotta start.
Back.
Yeah, I gotta. I keep getting these tips. I can't hold off any longer.
Yeah.
And maybe he talked to his producers and was like, look, I've gotten this amount of information on it. Should I bring it forward? And maybe the producers were like, yeah, this would be great for content.
Yeah. Yeah. If it really was, because I'm sure things have been rumbling ever since the field goal. Like, that's where it's not where it all started, but I think that was the straw that broke the camel's back for Aaron Rodgers. And then that slowly rolled into a snowball. That, you know, rumors, whispers behind the doors, group messages where Aaron Rodgers is calling his GM, Jerry Krause.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. I'm sure he was hearing that constantly. If what he's saying is true, that he's been hearing rumors and stuff, he's probably heard that weekly since the NFC Championship game. And he was like, you know what? The season's kind of about to officially start. Maybe I should float this out there. That's kind of just what I was thinking. I don't know. I'm still not really sure if I think he's going to get traded.
I don't know if he's going to get traded, but I don't think he plays for the Packers. I think he's willing to sit out. I'm not necessarily retired, just sit out.
He can definitely afford it.
Brett Favre was on radio yesterday in Wisconsin saying that he thinks he's done and kind of compared it to how his time ended in Green Bay. And then you had his longtime fullback from, I think it was 2008 to 2015, who came out today saying the same thing, saying, yeah, he's just had it. He's had it with the organization. He's wanted help to make the team better, and they just have refused to help him.
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask you, Tucker, because you say it was on deciding to kick the field goal.
That was the straw that broke the camel's back. Like,
okay.
That was the final nail in the coffin. He was like, okay, this place is hopeless. Matt LaFleur is an idiot. Like, I'm not going to win a Super Bowl here again. Like, I think that was when it finally sunk in him. I should probably leave Green Bay.
I don't know if for him, his relationship with LaFleur was that corrosive to where when LaFleur made that decision, he was like, that's it, I'm done with this coach. Because I feel like when you've had the season that you had last year with your head coach and the system he implemented for you, I feel like you're willing to put aside any maybe personal grudges that you may have with him. Like, yes, that was a bad coaching decision on his part.
A terrible one.
But I feel like my frustration would be with the organization, with the general manager, because maybe in that scenario, if I had another quality wide receiver to pair along with Devontae Adams, and I'm pretty sure I talked about this yesterday, if they had drafted Justin Jefferson there,
the team would have won a Super Bowl.
You have both Devontae Adams and Justin Jefferson to get the ball to in that scenario, along with Robert Tonyan, who had a great wide receiver for you great season for you at tight end. At that point, at that stretch in the game, I feel like with that many weapons to go to there,
they at least go to the Super Bowl. They win that NFC Championship game with a team like that.
Yeah, but in that scenario, in that play, I feel like LaFleur has more confidence in his offense,
and he goes for it.
Yeah,
yeah, you're probably right.
Because he's got game changers.
And they have none besides Devontae Adams right now. And, of course, Aaron Rodgers. But it's been a one- or a two-man show for the last forever.
Yeah, because Jordy Nelson before that.
Yeah, ever since he left.
That's the thing. It's like guys like Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb excelled. Those guys weren't highly touted wide receivers.
They're catching the ball from Aaron Rodgers. That helps a lot to a wide receiver.
Was it Valdez Scantling?
Mm-hmm.
Like he's not a good receiver, but
Aaron
Rodgers
pretty good.
Elevates him.
Yeah. Like, if you put him on any other team, he's probably not turning your head as much as he is with Aaron Rodgers. That's how it is with any wide receiver. Yeah. Well, we'll see if Packers can hold on Aaron Rodgers or if he walks. Birthday's next.
So my last birthday segment.
I'll host too. You want to host?
Yeah, I'll do it.
I'll host. You get to play on your last day.
Okay.
Unless you want to host, whatever you want to do.
I may have to call in to face Will.
You need to do that.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll do that. All right. Find out what he's doing next. Welcome back in. As you can hear in the song, it's time for the birthday game. It's going to be Trey versus Alex. I'll be hosting. Alex decided in the break that he would rather play. He was a little in between hosting and playing. But in his last official in-studio birthday game, I'll be hosting. And are you guys ready? Star-studded birthdays today. Like, a ton of pretty good names. And if I just, like, if we run out of time, I have, like, backups. I mean, I've got more birthdays than I can probably do today. And they're all fantastic names.
All right, let's get it.
So, all right, we will start with this guy right here. Mega famous, one of the most famous people in the world, I would think, in America.
George Clooney.
Donald Trump.
It's George Clooney.
I cheated.
You cheated. Okay, that one doesn't count then. Cheater. That's all right.
Sorry, he was trending on Twitter. I had to see what was up. George is kind of old, you know. You got to make sure he's all right. Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah. Do you guys know he was born in Lexington, Kentucky?
I think I knew that.
That's really weird.
Yeah, he doesn't strike me as a Southern guy. But all right. Moving on. 31 years old today. Baseball player. Born in Maracay, Venezuela. 1990.
Marcelo Zuna.
No. Plays for the Houston Astros.
Altuve.
It's Altuve. Yeah.
He mentioned it earlier. Yeah, got to get that.
Yeah, we talked about it earlier. I was just going to float it out there. Because whenever I said baseball player, I figured one of you might just throw out Altuve because we talked
about it. No, Trey literally said it.
Yeah. The chant today.
And I still beat
Yankee
him.
Yankee Stadium was nice. Wow. Good job. Moving on.
Revenge.
66 years old today. 66. Born in 1955 in Haverhill, Massachusetts. A game show host is, sure, he has hosted game shows before. He's hosted Hollywood Squares. He has hosted Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. And he was, how I know him, the host of America's Funniest Home Videos.
Bob Saget.
After
Tom Bergeron.
It is Tom Bergeron. I feel like he's not like an A-list name, but I feel like everyone kind of knows that name. I didn't know if you'd be able to actually get
America's
it.
Funniest Home Videos, you had me right there.
Dude, when I was like from age 7 to like 11, I think that's all I watched. Because the internet wasn't like quite as big yet.
Yeah.
Now you've seen all the videos. Yep. It's not as fun anymore. But Tom Bergeron, happy birthday. Moving on. Legend, 76 years old. Born in Lincoln Park, Michigan. Spelled differently than the band. Like Abraham Lincoln Park. May 6, 1945, rock singer, legendary rock singer and songwriter, known for his raspy voice and blue-collar-themed lyrics. 70s rock star. He's got many popular songs as the frontman for the Silver Bullet Band, songs including Against the Wind, Night Moves, Old Time Rock and Roll, Turn the Page.
Seger.
It is Bob Seger.
Seger.
It is Bob Seger, the legend.
Who is that?
You don't know who Bob Seger is?
Nope.
When you get in your car tonight, go on whatever music you use to listen to. Search Bob Seger, S-E-G-E-R, and just hit shuffle. And enjoy your ride home. It's good driving music.
Yeah,
it is. It's that good, it'll be the perfect time for it. You'll enjoy it.
I'm sure you've heard some of his songs before. You just don't know that you've heard his songs.
It's in Forrest Gump, when he's running across the country against the wind.
Yeah.
Against the wind, that's Bob Seger. I don't know why I know that exact songs in that part, but...
Okay. Yeah, those songs are good for movies, but when I try to listen to them for...
The sun will be going down. It'll, roll your windows down, blast some Bob Seger. Okay. You'll be in a great mood. You'll ride off into the sunset literally on your last show.
Probably won't.
All right, 39 years old today. Born in Elizabethton, Tennessee.
Elizabethtown?
Elizabethton, yeah.
I thought it was Elizabethtown.
No.
It's the way they say it out in Granger, Trey.
It's Elizabethton. There's no W. May 6, 1982. NFL tight end. Surpassed Michael Irvin to top this team's. All-time receptions.
Jason Witten.
It is Jason Witten. He also became the most successful tight end in school history at what college?
The University of Tennessee.
The By God Balls! All right, moving on. 34 years old today. Born in Philly. 1987. One of my favorite rappers.
Wiz Khalifa.
It is not Wiz Khalifa.
Meek Mill.
Meek Mill.
He's from Pittsburgh. I don't know why I said.
Black and yellow, baby. But Meek Mill. I love Meek Mill. Dreams and Nightmares. If I have any sort of competition, I don't care how big or small, if I throw on Dreams and Nightmares, I'm ready to run through a brick wall right before I go in there.
Yep.
When the Eagles came out to Dreams and Nightmares in the Super Bowl, I thought that was the coolest thing I'd ever seen.
Hmm.
I was like 16. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Not very much related to Meek Mill. They died in 1985 on October 10th. They were born on this date in 1915. They died at the age of 70. They were a director. Best known for his 1941 film, Citizen Kane, which he co-wrote, directed, produced, and starred in.
John Wayne.
No, not close.
Hitchcock.
Nope, not Hitchcock. The other guy. He received a scholarship to Harvard after high school, but didn't go. He went to Europe and just traveled around. He's won awards for his work on the CBS radio series, The Mercury Theater on the Air, which is what his War on the Worlds radio broadcast, where people thought the world was ending and aliens showed up during a radio show.
I know exactly what.
He was reciting H.G. Wells' novel, The War of the Worlds. War of the Worlds. What is O.W.? You're going to kick yourself, Trey.
Yeah, I know I am.
It's Orson Welles.
Oh, yeah.
It's Orson Welles. Fantastic guy. The War of the Worlds. God, I listened to that when I was 11 on YouTube, and it was the coolest thing I'd ever listened to. I thought it was so cool.
And then the
cool story.
The whole story behind it, that people actually thought we were being invaded.
Yeah, people panicked and were like, there was like, hysteria around like the country because they were parts. I don't know whoever listened to it, but they thought the world was ending. They thought it was news radio. But moving on, not Orson Welles. 36 years old today, born in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Nice little town. I've been there before. Pretty nice little place, Winston-Salem. 1985, NBA basketball player, a star NBA point guard. And 2006, incorrect. And 2006 Rookie of the Year led the NBA in assists in 2008 and 2009.
Oh, Chris Paul.
It is Chris Paul. Alex, I thought you would get that one. You're usually pretty quick with those.
I don't know. The facts just didn't hit me.
Okay. All right. Was that a little slight to the host? You saying I'm not doing my
job?
No, right?
I just didn't register.
Okay. All right. Just checking. 35 years old today. From Slovenia. I can't say the city name. I just don't have
Luka Doncic.
Born in 1986, so not quite Luka. 35 years old. Flashy Slovenian NBA point guard who entered the NBA with the Phoenix Suns.
Goran Dragic.
It is Goran Dragic.
Not a huge NBA guy, so.
Yeah, I can, relate to that. I get bodied by Alex on all of these. 29 years old today. Born in Lithuania.
Domantas Sabonis.
No. Lithuanian NBA center who was drafted fifth overall by the Toronto Raptors in 2011. He began playing basketball professionally in 2008. He was drafted four picks behind all-star point guard Kyrie Irving, the first overall pick in 2011. JV.
Jonas Valanciunas. He got it.
Boom.
I'll give it
Trey
to him.
Trey got that one. Good stuff. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right.
One more?
Oh, yeah, I got one right here. 39 years old today. Born in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Johnny Knoxville.
Incorrect. 1982. He became the NFL's highest paid punter of 2013 by signing an $18.75 million contract with the Kansas City
Dustin
Chiefs.
Dustin Colquitt.
It is Dustin Colquitt. Legend. Vol. I love Dustin Colquitt so much.
What about Britain?
I love all the Colquitts. That whole family, man. Legends.
Yeah, let me just go ahead and say, since today is my last show.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'd like to thank you, Tucker. Thank Will, who's not here with us.
Nerd.
Folky, for letting me into overtime.
For teaching you.
Yeah. Letting me set up behind the mic, chime in whenever I wanted. Let me get off my my jokes, my sarcasm, but also giving me the shots that I deserved. And I loved it. It was a great opportunity. Couldn't have been a better internship opportunity. And I'm glad I made some friends in the process. Trey, it's been awesome getting to know you this last month. So
yeah, same.
I wish you all the best. And thank you to the audience, especially for letting me in on this little thing.
We love the audience most of all. That was beautiful, Alex. We love you guys. We'll see you next week.